today's gospel and reflections are just wonderful for us to review and to hear once again. Isaiah is third Isaiah, and they're already back from the captivity that they experienced in Babylon. So the Jews, as you know, were ripped up from their promised land and brought to Babylon as captives, slaves. And then, lo and behold, as the Babylonians continued to literally use these people as slaves, the Persians, Cyrus and the Persian army came in and destroyed the great country of Babylon. And so this pagan king became the savior of the Jew. He actually said, you Jews should go back home to your land. And so having destroyed Babylon, Cyrus then became the source of the Jewish recovery to their native land. So they restored their land, they restored the temples, they were back in the land that was promised them by Yahweh. Isaiah talks to them and says, now wait a minute. If you were saved literally by a pagan king, ought you not to be at least somewhat responsive to other races, other people, other ways of life? It's not my way or the highway. Well, the Jews found that, of course, very difficult because they were always afraid that somehow if they worshiped mixed with others, they would be taken to a false god or their land would be taken, all those things. And so they never really did very well with that. But Isaiah today is saying to them, pay attention. This banquet that our God gives to us is not just for the Jew. Look at the example of Cyrus and look what happened. It's for all people. So you have that great vision in 3rd Isaiah of the wonderful banquet where everyone is invited to the table of the Lord. Then secondly, we have the reading this morning from Romans. And Paul, as you know, was a Jew. He was a ferocious persecutor of the Christian tradition. And somehow he got stopped dead in his tracks. And he became a great follower of Jesus Christ. So he writes to his own people, to the Jews. And he says to them, I'm not disrespecting our tradition. I'm just suggesting to you that there is more. And you ought to at least investigate that message that comes from Jesus Christ. So he, having experienced that conversion, is looking to support those people with the same. Now, the gospel today is a tough gospel to try to figure out. I mean, our Lord is downright insulting. And you can song and dance it, but I just think he was insulting. That helps me because sometimes I'm a little insulting or people insult me. So if Jesus can do it, I guess, you know, gets me off the hook a little bit. But there he is. His cousin had just been killed. John the Baptist. Oop, off with his head. Herod. The rumor is out that he's next, that Herod is now after the cousin. Why? Because after the baptism of our Lord in the Jordan by his cousin, he followed John. There isn't much made of that, but he did do that. He became a disciple of John, Jesus did. And he was preaching a righteous gospel. John was preaching the gospel of forgiveness, the gospel of repentance, the gospel of hell and damnation. He was tough. And so our Lord was preaching that gospel. And then news gets to him that this John has been killed and that he is next. So what does he do? He gets out of the Jewish territory. He leaves the territory of the Jews and he goes to a pagan territory, Tyre and Sidon. Not because he's on a vacation, but because it's too hot for him. And so he gets out. And the first person that confronts him in Tyre and Sidon in the pagan territory is a Canaanite woman, a pagan woman who has a child who is very ill. She has some possession or disturbance or illness. And so she goes to Christ, the Savior, calls him Lord. So she knows that he is the Lord somehow. And our Lord doesn't pay any attention to her. He just neglects her. You know, when you're trying to get somebody's attention and they're talking and you like to say, you know, he didn't pay attention. And then she kept pestering him. She didn't give up. She kept right at him. She was persistent. And the disciple said, Lord, do you want me to get rid of this person? And then our Lord turns to this woman and says this almost incomprehensible statement. I have come, he says, for the Jew and for the diaspora. I come for the Jew and those who are Jews but have fallen away. I am there for both of them. That's my Father's will. So I cannot take the bread that has been given to me and throw it to the dogs. The dogs. Whoa. Speaking about her. Now you might song and dance that, but that's what he says. And she then, in her persistence, doesn't give up, doesn't run away. She looks right back at Jesus and says, yes, Lord, I understand that. You're for the Jew. But even the scraps of the table, people give to the dogs. Yeah. Nice. Little sound effect, you know. I'll do anything to get your attention. Our Lord looks at this woman, and this to me is the great teaching. He looks at that woman, and he says, woman, oh woman, you have great faith. And he cures the daughter. Now, what we have here, I think, is the early church, 20 years later, looking at that incident and saying, what does that mean? How are you going to figure that out? And so they write this story in order to maintain, to keep something that is so critical, so important, and I think so necessary for us to rehear again on this Sunday. Somehow that woman, that Canaanite woman, that pagan woman from Tyre and Sidon changed the mind of the Messiah. He had thought that his job, his mission was for only the Jew and the Jew who had been separated. But somehow her pleading, her faith, her persistence got him to understand, no, it's not just for this exclusive group of people. It is for all people, for all time. And so, my brothers and sisters, what we have here today is a message that didn't just happen like that in the early church or in the mind of Jesus Christ, but something that took time to settle and mature and finally come to realize and understand that we have been given this great gift, but it's not an exclusive gift. It is a gift to be shared with all people. And so we see our Lord now turning around, going back to Galilee, preaching to the prostitute, to the leper, to the poorest of the poor, to those who are the outcast, because it is now his mission, having experienced that moment in Tyre and Sidon, at the pleading and faith of this good woman, that he was to be the Savior of all. I've had 9 liturgies since Friday morning here at St. Monica's. And that's why I'm a little hoarse, because I talk pretty loud. And our church, for most of those liturgies, have been funerals and weddings and special occasions. This church has been full. But the thing that impels me, the thing that I'm so grateful to you for, is that every single person that walks into this church at least begins to hear, I hope, that no matter where you are on this journey, no matter what life tradition you embrace, no matter how you call your God, no matter where you find yourself in all of the stuff of life, you are welcome. That our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came for you and for me equally. And do we make some mistakes in that? Yes, we do. But that's our foundational gift and blessing. Last Sunday, I began to speak a little bit about that because the two gospels are interconnected. And at the 5:30 liturgy, my brothers and sisters, I'm giving out the Eucharist right in that center of that church. The body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. And a woman stood to receive the Eucharist in tears. And she looked at me and said, Monsignor, I was a prostitute. Thank you. It's real. And it's critically important in our time. And we're no different than any family. Any family who has some little struggle with family, person, mix-up, difficulty, do you throw them out? Of course not. And if you do, shame on us. We embrace and we walk together. We do our best to sort out those things in life. And so, my brothers and sisters, I can't imagine a better word than that today. Our Lord takes this woman and says to her something that's most precious. He says, woman, you have such great faith. Where's our faith? Yeah, we have faith when things are tough, but do we have faith like a tiger, like she had? Are we persistent, especially when times are really difficult and dark? Do we have that faith? And do we look for creative ways in which to make sure we continue to embrace and include and connect and live in the power and the gift of that grace that only comes from our God? That's the message. And so, my brothers and sisters, I think we need to look at our own lives. We need to look at this country. Look at this country. We need to look at each other. What is it, foundationally, that's more needed than that gospel, that call, and that relationship that our Lord gives us today? And so we pray for that. We ask for healing. We ask for forgiveness for the mistakes we've made in those areas of our lives. And we pray to God that every single person who walks with us at St. Monica's believes all indeed